From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Earlier this summer, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that local governments are allowed to ban people from setting up encampments and sleeping in public places, essentially a way to enforce laws against homelessness. In response, many cities, including here in Illinois, have passed or are considering ordinances to ban public camping. It's proven to be a divisive issue, as you can hear in these excerpts from the discussion last week at the Springfield City Council.
I understand that it created angst within the community of having it on emergency passage, and we listened, and that's why it's being taken off of emergency passage and put in back to committee, and then we'll go through council like a normal ordinance. I do want to explain why it was put on emergency passage. 2 weeks ago, we had a camper overdose in a campsite and pass away. She overdosed and died. Last week, we had a camper get ran over in a campsite. The Springfield Police Department was concerned about the safety of the campers, which is why it was put on emergency passage. So contrary to what you're hearing in the community, campers' lives are being endangered.
The ordinance does not punish the status of being homeless. Rather, it prohibits public camping throughout the city.
Order it's in equally the council chambers.
It's equally applicable to individuals without regard of their housing status. That is my analysis. That is also the analysis of the Supreme Court of the United States.
This ordinance in its current version, I cannot support.
All right, we heard there at the end Alderwoman Jennifer Notariano and before that Corporation Counsel Greg Mordock, and to begin, Springfield Mayor Misty Buescher during last Tuesday's City Council meeting. For now, city officials in Springfield have temporarily set aside plans to pass an ordinance banning sleeping in encampments in public places, but others have been moving forward. And we have been talking with city officials and advocates about this, and we plan to have them on to share their perspectives in the future. I should say advocates for homeless or unhoused individuals. But today we're going to set a baseline by focusing on the Supreme Court ruling itself and the legal landscape around homeless encampments. And joining us for that is Vikram Amar, professor and former dean at the University of Illinois College of Law and a distinguished professor of law at the University of California, Davis. Vic, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Can you start by giving us the thumbnail sort of capsule sketch of what the Supreme Court's decision earlier this year meant in cases like these? The case was called Grants Pass, which is the name of a town in Oregon, versus Johnson, which is the name of an homeless or unhoused individual there.
Yeah, so the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, relying on an earlier U.S. Supreme Court case, ruled that the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishment forbids punishing somebody for something that's involuntary, like having to sleep in a public place when you have nowhere else to go. So the ruling of the lower courts was, if there are not enough publicly available beds for homeless or unhoused persons, then a state can't or city can't make it a crime to sleep or camp in public, because that really puts the individual in a kind of an untenable situation. And the U.S. Supreme Court said that the Eighth Amendment doesn't really speak to any of this. The Eighth Amendment is about what kinds of punishments can be imposed, not what kinds of conduct can be the basis of punishment. And here, since fines and a small jail term weren't cruel and unusual in terms of the kinds of punishment they imposed, that the Eighth Amendment didn't apply. Now, the Ninth Circuit relied on an earlier Supreme Court case, as I mentioned earlier, that from California, in which the Supreme Court had held that the Eighth Amendment prohibits making addiction a crime. So California made it a crime to be a drug addict. And the Supreme Court said, well, you can't criminalize the fact of addiction. And so the Ninth Circuit said, well, this is kind of similar. You're criminalizing the fact of not having a place to sleep, and people need to sleep. So it's like criminalizing someone who's addicted. And the Supreme Court said, no, even though you can't criminalize being an addict, you can make it a crime to use drugs even if you are an addict, and that's the better analogy here. So you can criminalize the act of camping or sleeping in an unauthorized place in public. Maybe Oregon or Grants Pass couldn't make it a crime to be sleep deprived. That would be like making it a crime to be an addict. But just because you can't punish the status doesn't mean you can't punish conduct that correlates with the status. So, for example, the Grants Pass case, the statute there makes camping illegal in these unauthorized places, whether you are doing it because you have no place else to sleep or because you want to backpack in that area or because you're trying to make a political statement. The law on its face prohibits the act of camping, not anything about you in particular. So the big takeaway from this case, and it's found kind of near the very end, is when the court says, you know, homelessness is a really difficult problem, and it's not one that courts are going to put local and state officials in a straitjacket to deal with. This is really a matter for elected policy members to figure out, and figure out in different ways in different places. And that's federalism, that different places will have different solutions to this. And experiments will be undertaken, and other jurisdictions can learn from those experiments. But this is not the stuff of constitutional law and federal court imposition, certainly at least not as to the Eighth Amendment. Now, there may be some other constitutional provisions that might apply to be able to be used to challenge certain you know, proposals that cities and states adopt. But the Eighth Amendment is certainly not going to be one of them.
Yeah, well, I wondered about that because tent encampments among unhoused or homeless individuals is certainly not the only type of tent encampment that has been in the news this year. We saw tent encampments on college campuses across America. If a homeless person were to put a Freedom for Palestinians sign on her tent or Support Israel sign on her tent, for that matter, would that potentially trigger some different constitutional provisions here?
You know, that's a great question, but it's great in part because it betrays a real confusion and misunderstanding on the part of most people about whether you have a right to do something that's otherwise illegal simply because you're doing it for an expressive purpose. Mm-hmm. So all of these tent encampments on campuses, none of them have any credible claim to any First Amendment protection unless the university is prohibiting the encampment because of the message being expressed, as opposed to just prohibiting all encampments, generally speaking. So there's no.
So if you allow the Go Illini camp but prohibit the Go Palestine camp, that's where you
unless
get
into, the university is yeah. doing that, then there's simply no First Amendment issue here, because there's no, you know, you could try to assassinate someone and say, well, the reason I did it is to make a political point, but no one in the world would say that immunizes that action from criminal punishment.
What about this idea that Justice Sotomayor brought up in her dissent in this case, which is that sleep is a biological necessity, and you can't, it's not right to criminalize something, you know, that's a biological necessity. I was thinking of this in terms of other biological necessities, such as urination, which is certainly criminalized in public. How talk about that aspect of this case?
So again, what the court said was, yeah, it may be involuntary in some sense, but it's not involuntary in the legal sense. If you're a drug addict, using drugs is involuntary, just like sleep is involuntary. People need to sleep, but drug addicts need to take drugs. So I think the court didn't really, the court kind of was very legalistic in saying there's a difference between punishing the status versus punishing the conduct, and sleep is conduct. And again, you don't have to sleep in public. You can sleep somewhere else. So Sotomayor's point is not so much that sleep is necessary, but for these folks, sleeping in public is necessary in the same way that a drug addict's fix might be necessary. But then that begs the question, are there things that the person could and should have done along the way to avoid being in this involuntary situation? For a drug addict, we might say, well, maybe you shouldn't have gotten as addicted to drugs in the first place. Maybe you shouldn't have done what led to the addiction. So to hear, There are some steps along the way that are certainly voluntary that contribute to being homeless. Now, sometimes it's mental illness and people have no control over that and the like. But the court said we're not going to go down this path of preventing government from punishing people for doing things that are hard for them to avoid doing, because that opens up a whole Pandora's box. And the Eighth Amendment doesn't really permit that. Let me make one other point, and that is, you know, the claim brought by the homeless person in Grants Pass, I thought could and should have been rejected on the following ground. The argument that was made was that Grants Pass doesn't have enough homeless beds to house all the people who need them, and that therefore Grants Pass can't make it illegal for you to camp in public places. But no one has a constitutional entitlement to be in Grants Pass. If there are other available spaces elsewhere in Oregon, then the state of Oregon, even under the plaintiff's theory, has discharged its burden, if there be one, to provide adequate places to sleep. So there is a right to travel and move from one state to another, but there's no right in the Constitution to live in one part of a state rather than another. Now, maybe Grants Pass is actually quite a nice place. Maybe it's preferable to be in Grants Pass than some other parts of Oregon, but there's certainly no entitlement to be there if you could have a bed in some other less desirable part of the state.
You know, this may not be, and I should remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're having the first of a planned series of conversations on homelessness, particularly in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision this summer in Grants Pass, Oregon versus Johnson, which basically has allowed municipalities to set up ordinances that prevent and fine people and potentially could jail people for setting up homeless tent encampments, or really any sort of tent encampments, I suppose, whether you're homeless or not. And we're talking about this with Vikram Amar, who's a professor and former dean at the U of I College of Law, also at UC Davis, law professor. And so even though it may not rise to the level of Eighth Amendment cruel and unusual punishment, it certainly does, I think, will strike a lot of listeners as cruel, the idea that somebody does need to sleep. Does this say anything, or what? How does this interplay with the idea that, you know, people could sleep in a doorway as long as they're not setting up an encampment, I suppose?
Well, that's going to depend on the contours of the particular ordinance or statute that prohibits overnight stays in public places. So some of them will be written so as to forbid encampments, but not doorway sleeping. Others will be written more broadly. Two points. One, I think jurisdictions are going to have to be a little bit careful when they enforce these things, to avoid the impression that they're enforcing them against some places or some individuals, but not others, based on race or point of view or other illicit criteria. But to go back to your big point, yeah, of course it's cruel. It's shameful that we can't, as a society, deal with this issue ever since the middle of the Reagan administrations. But it just goes to show that the Constitution doesn't really speak to everything that is bad. There's lots of bad stuff in the world that the Constitution permits, and it's up to the political actors, it's up to legislatures and city councils and the like to come up with fair and just solutions. So I think the key in what you said is, yeah, it's cruel in some kind of ordinary sense, but that doesn't make it cruel for purposes of cruel and unusual under the Eighth Amendment.
Just about a couple of minutes left, but the Springfield proposed ordinance, I read one report where it said it could subject people to fines as much as $750 and 2 years in jail. Is there a question of, in your mind, once these enforcement starts taking place? I mean, you're leveling potentially hundreds of dollars in fines against people who probably by definition don't have that sort of money, where, you know, we do not have debtors prisons in America, right? Talk about that and how the consequences here could play out. And I guess what is the point of leveling fines against people who don't have the money to pay for it?
Exactly. So I think, you know, at some point, too long a jail term could re-trigger some Eighth Amendment concerns. So to say that a small fine and a small time in county jail it doesn't violate the Eighth Amendment, which is what the court said in the Grants Pass case, because that's what the city of Grants Pass had done, doesn't mean that if you sentence someone for 25 years for sleeping in a park once, that that wouldn't violate the Eighth Amendment. There is a proportionality requirement at some point in the Eighth Amendment. But the bigger point, I think, is what you just said. Does it make any sense to fine people who can't pay and waste a lot of time processing the fine and trying to recover the money when there's nothing to recover? Or relatedly, putting people in jail is a heck of a lot more expensive than at least some solutions for the homeless challenge. I know it's very expensive to build public housing, but I gotta believe that it's more cost effective to provide some temporary public housing than it is to put people in prisons where you've got to pay for all the security and everything else. So again, it illustrates the difference between what's constitutionally required and what is sensible and fair. And those are just different things people got to get through their minds.
Vic Amar, always appreciate your expertise. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Vikram Amar is former dean and professor at the University of Illinois College of Law and is also distinguished professor of law at UC Davis. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about the new book, The Krabiosyn Hoax. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.